Blog Talk Radio.
Chicago against Minnesota. You also had the late game that's coming up. It's going to be San Francisco against Seattle. Next week, you're looking at the Chiefs versus the Eagles. So a lot of big action happening today in the National Football League. So we're going to talk about that a little bit in the hour. We are going to have two guests today. We're going to have Manna Allison, who is plays for the California Quakes on the women's gridiron side, as well as a huge NFL Redskins fan. And she's going to talk a little bit about NFL. We'll go into her, the experience in Vonta for the Women's World Championships. We'll talk to her about that also as well as part of Team Sweden. And then at the bottom of the hour, for the last 20-25 minutes or so, we are going to talk to Emery Hunt, the czar of the playbook, football game plan. And you can follow him on Twitter at football game plan as well. And we're going to talk to all NFL for that 15-20 minutes of the time that Emery has afforded us. So it's going to be a great show. Looking forward to the big matchup today, Niners-Seattle Seahawks NFC matchup. You're going to get to see pretty much two top-notch quarterbacks as well as two defenses. I don't know how well Seattle is going to do. Word has it that obviously their defense is a little banged up. So we'll see how that affects them versus Kaepernick and the San Francisco 49er game plan there. Earlier today, Chicago goes to a surprising 2-0, which is totally surprising to everybody because they've won by only 3 points the last 2 weeks, and they've kind of squeaked by against Minnesota as well this week. So some of the turnovers are key there. So we'll talk into the NFL at the bottom of the hour with Emery Hunt, and then we'll go into a little bit of NFL plus women's gridiron. I want to give a shout-out to Nick Day on YouTube as part of the Female Gridiron League of Queensland, and their season kicked off last weekend. You have 2-0 GC Stingrays, the Gold Coast Stingrays, and they're up and coming. Better season this year. They ended up beating the champs from last year, the Logan City Jets, and then they took on as well as they're taking on the Jaguars. So this coming weekend, the next week on the slate, huge game. They're 2-0. They're going to be facing themselves in a situation where they need to go up into 3-0, and that's going to be huge for them coming off the first season. The Logan City Jets are a good team. They obviously rebound 20-0. They took care of the Kenmore Panthers, sort of a rematch of last year in the final, Logan City Jets versus Kenmore Panthers. Just so happened that obviously the Jets still have their number. And 30-0 was the actual outcome for the GC Stingrays against the Jaguars. So if you miss any of the action or any of the feedback that you need, we're going to hook you up on Twitter as well as Facebook. You can always follow their Facebook page as well, the GC Stingrays on Facebook, as well as the Logan City Jets. So they have updates there. But if you go to YouTube, look up Nick Day, N-I-C-K-D-A-D-A-Y, and you can get the action of the Female Gridiron League of Queensland. We also had action in Mexico, which was the Liga Mexicana football, the Lingerie. They kicked off their doubleheader last night, Cardinales versus Amazonas. I haven't got the verdict on the results for that, but I did get the score for the Valkyries versus the Tigres de Bengala. So 18-0, Valcarias win the season opener. They put up against the Tigres de Bengala. So we'll see what the results was for the Cardinals. Cardinals actually off the winning season, off their exhibition round. So they're kind of the champs coming off in that. So we'll see how those two teams match up. It's a huge slate of games coming up on next weekend as well. So we'll keep you posted on Twitter and Facebook in terms of what games are coming up. We're also going to highlight a couple players and put together some sort of profiles for those as well. So if you're in Mexico City, you're at the Domo Seccional, you can get your tickets there as well. And you can catch all the action happening in the women's game down in Mexico in terms of the non-traditional game. Also have the LIBF, which is the Liga Iberoamericana, the bikini football. So they're similar to this LMFL. So we'll touch base with them within the next week or two in terms of what's happening there. So the big announcements, for the weekend of the 21st is in the German league, which is the Bundesliga league, and that's the German Ladies Bowl, which is going to happen September 21st in Germany. It's Crailsheim versus Berlin. That's for the final for the women's the German women's league. So we'll look forward to the results there. I'm trying to hook up with the network right now to get some insights as to who are the top players and who's going to be in those two matchups. But it's Crailsheim versus Berlin, and that's going to be for the final for the Ladies Bowl. If you need more information on that, it's ladiesbowl.de, which is .de, which is for Germany. You can go to that site, and it's ladiesbowls.de, and they're going to have the championship on the 21st. The Women's Arena Football League will finish off their season slate for this year, and that's Diva Bowl. That's what they're calling their championship. The Diva Bowl will be September 21st in Houston, Texas, and is between the original franchise that the league formatted, which is the Houston Lady Oilers. They're going to be taking on the Dallas Desire and obviously Linda Brenner and company. Dallas Desire, Dallas Darlings. I'm still with the Desire because that's how I know her. But the Dallas Darlings versus the Houston Lady Oilers, and that's going to happen September 21st in Houston. So she's got a great team going undefeated for the season, looking for the perfect season in the inaugural WAFL championship in the Diva Bowl. So that's what's happening in the women's gridiron slate. And we're also going to get updates on the women's gridiron Victoria as we get forward into the season coming up with the Western Foxes and as well as the other teams that are slated to be forming in the Gridiron Victoria Women's League. So basically we're in Australia. We're diving into Mexico gradually through the season. And then obviously LFL Canada coming up here on October 5th as the season was actually, some of the first portion of the season was canceled. So now the playoff crunch for LFL Canada has started. BC Angels, a tougher aspect of their game now because it's only a home and away game. It's a huge playoff formatted that the Legends Football League has slated for this season in Canada. It's very intense. It's a one or you're out. So the better squads are going to do that. There's a lot of news going on in terms of turmoil, in terms of what's happening with the league, why it was held back. Bottom line is we're being told by the LFL and the Legends Football League that obviously none of that's happening and that obviously the season's going to go on October 5th and 6th. And they're going to have their huge kickoffs. They're going to be in Regina and Saskatoon, so the expectation there is huge football hotbed. The turnout should be there pretty well. We'll see how that works out in terms of the slate. So hopefully that's the case, and we'll go from there in terms of what the games are going to turn out and stuff like that. So we're looking forward to Manna Allison coming on to touch base with us for today's slate. So we'll go from there in terms of the aspect of it. We're having some technical difficulties today, so I don't know if it's the satellite or the weather or not. So hopefully that's not the case today. I've been very frustrated the last couple weeks with our broadcasting and stuff like that. So we'll see how that holds off today for us in terms of the aspect of staying on air and doing that. Trying to work up with another network at this point to work out some deals and stuff like that. But bottom line is, welcome to the show. My name is Oscar Lopez, and our format's pretty much interactive and through social media, so it's Twitter and Facebook. You can address anything with us at hashtag GB Radio for any comments you want to make to us, or you can leave them down here on the Block Talk Radio comment box. You can also give us feedback in any other format in terms of an email or anything like that through our links and stuff like that. You can find us on Twitter at Gridiron Beauty, on Facebook at facebook.com/ Gridiron Beauty. You can get us on our website at Zazzle.com/ Gridiron Beauties as well. So we cover pretty much the whole women's game. If we don't cover your network or don't cover your league, please let us know, and we'll go ahead and attach you onto our links in terms of Facebook or Twitter and get you going there. I want to give a huge shout-out to our network of sources that provide us with the women's gridiron news and notes globally, because without them, we would not be here today and giving you the news and notes of the women's game. So I want to give a huge shout-out to Backseat Coach at WFA Scores, at IWFL, at the WSFL, the Football Nacional, FX Mexico, Janet TV Football, FIFA_Spain, WTFF Canada, and of course Touchdown Europe for their amazing work weekly on the infos and players news in the Europe scene. We also want to give a shout out to obviously the leagues that we follow, which is the Women's Arena, Football Alliance, the Independent Women's Football League, the Women's Spring Football League, the Western Women's Canadian Football League, Maritime, the Legends Football League, all branches, the Women's Arena Football League, the Sugar and Spice Football League, and obviously the Women's Indoor Football League that will launch next season in 2014, as well as in the overseas aspect of it, the Guam Women's Sacro Football League, the Liga Nacional de Spain, the Italian Championship Women's League, the Female Gridiron League of Queensland, and as well as the ACT Women's Gun and the Legends Football League of Australia, as well as the Ladies Football League of Australia, and the Mexico branches that we cover on stuff like that. So huge slate on the NFL slate. I mean, if you want to talk about Chicago versus, taking care of Minnesota, you got the big game coming up with Seattle versus San Francisco. We got Dallas that apparently, did not overcome today, but they had a good game. So 17-16, they lose to Kansas City on the slate there. You also had 24, surprising win for E.J. Manuel, who played a good game, almost 300 yards. It was 24-23, beating Carolina. Carolina on a two-game slump, even though they've kind of improved this week. So then you also had the St. Louis Rams second half almost come back, 31-24 against Atlanta. You had Steven Jackson going out with a hip injury. So there's a lot of things going on in the NFL, so we'll see if we can dive into that. So let's dive into Manna Allison and see if she's on here, and I'll have her on.
Hey.
Hey, Manna, are you on?
Yes, hello. Yes,
hey, how's
here.
It going today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing perfect. How was the Redskins game there? That I know you were watching very closely.
I was. That was a tough one. That was a tough week. Another bad loss, but staying positive. Hopefully they'll turn things around next week.
Yeah, I mean it's been a rough season, and I think defensively that's pretty much the biggest factor I think with them right now is they're not playing very good defensively. So I don't know, what it is there. I know, given RG3's situation and everything else, but overall I think the defense is has given up so many points so far early in the season that's a huge factor I think overall.
Absolutely, I think our secondary has been struggling, and we have a lot of rookies too. So that's definitely getting us in some trouble, but I'm staying hopeful. So hopefully they can get together this week and try to figure something out, because they definitely have let in a lot of points in the last two games.
Yeah, and I saw the offensive output wasn't too bad, but 20 points isn't going to get it done in any weekend, especially in the NFL. So and then the division's pretty tough right now. I mean, based on what's happening in that division right now, it's kind of a toss-up. Dallas isn't, they've kind of squeezed by there, but they didn't win. And then you also have the Giants playing the Broncos, so we'll see how the outcome is there. But overall, I think the division, they're still in the division, even given their two losses. Hopefully they can turn it around.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think they need to get a better start. They haven't really started playing until the second half in the last two games. So it just can't be one of those fourth-quarter teams, not in the NFL, but we'll see what happens. I mean, RG3, obviously, he's been out for quite a while, so I figured it'll take him a while to get the offense going, but we'll see. I'm staying hopeful.
Now, Manna, I got you on, and thank you for the time and everything else, and I know you're a busy lady and everything. So, Manna, everybody knows you're playing for the IWFL, and so tell a little bit about our followers, a little bit about you, and you know, how you got started in playing with the IWFL. And I know you were over in Sweden, and you were playing obviously for Team Sweden at the World Championship. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now, and how you got involved in women's gridiron.
I actually started off playing flag football with a co-ed team, and I was watching the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and I just figured out to look and see if there are any all-female flag football leagues out there. And I didn't even think about tackle at all, and I kind of Googled it, and a local tackle football team came up, and I would just had to jump on the chance. They had just started practicing, so I went down there, and I was pretty much, you know, stuck after that. I loved it, and I just finished my second year playing for a team in the IWFL, so I've had so much fun, and it's definitely a huge passion of mine to play. I was fortunate enough to be able to go back home. I'm from Sweden originally, so I was able to go back home and play with the national team in the Women's World Championship that happened in Finland over the summer, which was an amazing experience. I got to play against some of the best women in the world from probably 6 different countries were represented, and it was amazing. Definitely one of the highlights of my life to be able to go out there and not only represent my country, but to play with and against so many talented female football players. It was definitely special.
Now, you know, the atmosphere that I've been told that in obviously at the World Championships, it was huge. I mean, I know the turnout for fanfare wasn't a big deal, but it's still in its infancy. But, you know, bottom line is you probably had the best of the best, and that's got to feel good, you know, when you're sitting across everybody else. And I know Team USA was probably, you know, the overhyped team of, you know, because obviously deserving. But overall, I mean, I think everybody this time around, from what I gathered from last time around and this year, they're pretty improved. Everybody was on an upswing. So we'll see what 2017 holds in terms of once the tournament is set in that year.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think besides the U.S., obviously, the other teams are still up and coming and they're still developing. But if you compare it to 2010, I think a lot of the other countries definitely have come a long way. I know Sweden has. They're still developing out there, but there are a lot more girls playing now. They have more teams, so they were looking a lot better than they did 3 years ago, which is very exciting. I mean, I love seeing women's sports grow, especially in football. So it's looking good.
Now, Amanda, I know you were watching some of the games. So what was the best game that you saw at the tournament that stood out to you? You know, when you were there watching as a spectator and not necessarily as a player.
Well. I mean, Team USA pretty much ran over every team who was there. But at the same time, I do enjoy watching them. They have so many talented players on that team. So I probably would say the championship game between the U.S. and Canada. It was a good game. It was two very good teams. The U.S. obviously came out on top. But that was an exciting game to watch, definitely.
Now, I know Spain, you know, sort of wasn't going to surprise anybody, but they played a pretty good game. I mean, from what I saw from the feed and everything else, they were very tough. They were very aggressive to the ball. Offensively, obviously, they lack a lot more consistency and more time to kind of train with each other. But given what they showed, I was pretty impressed with their defensive motions.
Absolutely. They had a small roster just like we did, but they had so much heart. And they were a great team to play. The girls were amazing. We got to know some of them throughout the tournament. And just a great group of girls. But, you know, they didn't have the same experience as a lot of the other countries did, but they definitely had the passion and the heart to play. So, and it showed. It definitely showed. They went all out.
Yeah, and it showed that, you know, they had heart. They were put together pretty well. You also had the opportunity to get some of the other teams involved. So, you know, I was pretty impressed with Finland because they're always pretty consistent, especially with their quarterbacking play and everything else. So I was, you know, kind of impressed in that aspect.
Yeah, Finland is always a very good team. I know they have these yearly, there's a yearly game they have between Finland and Sweden. And from what I've heard, they usually come out on top every time they meet each other. They do have a lot more females who play out in Finland, so they're developing a lot faster, I think, than some of the other countries. So it was nice to actually be able to see them put on a show in their home country over the summer. They did a really good job. I was definitely impressed.
Yeah, now tell us, Amanda, tell us a little bit about what you're doing. I know it's kind of a thing that was working out and kind of like what we're doing, trying to, you know, support the women's game and the gridiron game. So can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing with Miss Gridiron and what your, you know, your vision and obviously why it came about?
Absolutely. I started a website called Miss Gridiron. It's missgridiron.com. It's basically a website that focuses on women's football from around the world. I try to cover everything from every country that I can find news on. Because I didn't find any websites out there that really covered, I mean, they're local things that cover kind of things in the U.S. and so on, but I wanted something that covered everything from around the world because women's football is up and coming. It's still growing, but a lot of people don't know about it. Every time I tell someone I play football, they always assume it's lingerie or it's flag, and they're always surprised that there is women's tackle football. So I wanted to start a website just to get the word out there to get people to know more about women's football and for a place to come and get information and see what women around the world do, players from around the world and all the things they accomplish. So I designed a T-shirt line. Initially, I did it as a way to try to raise some funds for me to go to Finland. And I just kind of did a small design. I started selling a couple of shirts to raise some funds. And people, I guess, thought it was a really cool idea. People started requesting more shirts, and I started doing really well. So I started getting requests to make more shirts. And next thing I know, I have a little line. So it's just a way for me now to kind of promote women's football and get the word out there. And you know, we see someone walking down the street with his design on, and people usually ask questions like, "Oh, what is that? Like, you put what a women's tackle football? What is this?" And so, I'm just trying to do my part to get the word out there and to let people know that, you know, women can play football, and we do, and we do it pretty well. So I think that's something small.
Yeah, I think that's really, you know, one of the things that really is lacking in the game is the marketing aspect of it. I don't see it as strongly marketed as any other sport. And it really lacks that,
right.
And I think it's great that, you know, like ourselves, especially with social media the way it is right now, you're able to get the word out and in more, you know, buzz mode and in a more effective manner. So so have you had any networking build up since you started the site? You know, anybody that's really been devoted to you in terms of information and in terms of getting things out so you can post them up there and so people can actually see that? Are you building that as well as like we have?
Yeah, I'm trying to do my best. I mean, through the, you know, the magic world of social media and the internet, I do, a lot of people send stuff into me that, you know, they want things that for me to cover certain things that happen around in their areas. I get things from all the way from Canada to a lot from Australia as well. Actually, most of my sales have been to those two countries, which I think is great. So it's just a mix of, you know, sometimes I reach out to people and let them know, hey, if you have something, let me know. I'll be happy to cover it on my website. Or I do my own research to find things that are happening around. So there's a little bit of a mix of everything. But I've gotten a lot of great feedback, and people are really open to just kind of, you know, feeding me information and make sure the word gets out there.
Now, I know you've covered some of the pieces that we got feedback on that people were very excited about was, you know, you're covering, obviously, the intangibles that are happening right now with the girls game. You know, obviously the Carolyn Paul, and you had all these other young girls that are obviously involved with organizations that are, you know, boy driven at this point, and they don't see it. They're not seeing the value of setting up a girls league or a participation league for girls to actually evolve into the sport. So some of those stories have been very, very key to that. And a lot of it has been on your site, so I think everybody's been appreciative of the fact that you've been actually able to post certain relative news things that are happening in terms of getting the word out that you know, young girls do want to participate in the sport and they want the opportunity beyond flag football to have some sort of platform to participate.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I read stories all the time about young girls who are denied the opportunity to play with a boys team because you know, some people just don't think girls should play football, or, you know, they're not suited to play tackle football. And I think it's just so sad, because, I mean, we're girls, but that doesn't mean that we can't play, and that doesn't mean we can't do what the boys do. And so to see or hear about young girls just, you know, getting denied, I have to cover things like that, try to help do my part to get the word out there. And there's been a lot of successful stories where, you know, they change the rules and they let girls play, and I think it's great to showcase that and put that out there for people to see, you know, so hopefully more people will do the same.
Yeah, and that's the key right there, is just, you know, trying to make sure that everybody's aware of, you know, that there obviously is, you know, interest, and the interest is real, and it's real at a certain age level. And we've been talking exclusively to, like, the Manitoba Girls Football League, which has an opportunity right now, I think, to be a front runner to showcase that you can set up a, you know, a minor league type youth league. Not so much in any flag state, but, you know, in a regular kit style. And I think they've done a good job of doing that. Hopefully they're able to, you know, build from that. But, you know, in Canada itself, they've started that grassroots level. In Las Vegas, we know of, you know, the Las Vegas Showgirls, which is Dion Lee, and he started basically a camp. So it's just, I think it's an opportunity right now. It's still in a young stage, where all of us, you know, have to participate and get the word out that obviously girls can't play football, and they're able to evolve from not just the older stage in life, but obviously from the youth, and then build up to become some good football players. And Team USA, I think, being on board is going to be great for the women's game.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the younger we start, the earlier, and that's how we develop the sport of women's football. That's how we get players to get even better and better, starting them early. And I tell people all the time, the one thing I wish would be different for me was, I wish I would have known about women's football earlier in life. I mean, if I had the opportunity to play when I was, you know, 7, 8, 9, I would have jumped on the chance, no doubt. Yeah. Unfortunately, I was a little bit older once I found out, but I'm so happy I'm playing now. So to see or hear, you know, that there are opportunities for young girls, I think it's great. And I think if we can get them to start earlier, get leagues for young girls, I think that would be amazing.
Now, Manna, what other things are you doing? You've got the Miss Gridiron, and obviously the Broken Barriers is probably one of the huge slogans that you can ever get out there, because it's very impactful, and it says a lot about, you know, what you're doing with your brand and everything else. So tell us a little bit about how you came up with this Broken Barriers concept.
Oh, yes, I thought it was Breaking Boundaries.
Not Breaking Down Barriers, sorry.
Yeah, no problem. I think people have this stigma, they have this thing about women, we're supposed to be homemakers and mothers and, you know, caretakers, which we are, but I think, you know, that's what people think of when they think of women, and they obviously don't assume that we would ever play football. So I came up with the idea of doing this. Basically, the design is these four different characters. There's a little baby to growing up to a young girl to a teenage girl, and then the next step is a female football player, which probably the last thing you would think of, and that's what breaking boundaries is all about. It's about doing the things that people think will be impossible, but it is something that's real. It's something that happens all the time. I mean, there's a lot of women out there who actually, we have mothers who have, you know, 3 or 4 children who play football. We have girls out of high school who play football, and that's a wonderful thing for me about women's football is you have women of all walks of life, all ages, all races, who play football. There is no certain type that can play. It's for everyone. And I think it's great that they give everyone a chance to play. So whether you're a student or a mother, a grandmother, a wife, you know, anything, you can actually play women's football. And I think that's what I'm trying to get out, you know, that's what I'm trying to get out there for people to understand that. But it's really for everyone. Anyone who wants to play, they can play.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole basis for it is just really putting a foundation together, you know, and it's a great start. So what has been some of the things that you've covered that you're, you know, very excited about since you launched? One of the things that obviously besides the apparel branding and everything you've done, what's one of the things that you were very proud of when you first launched? Because I know logistics, it takes money and time. So was it, you know, were you being supported by certain individuals, or was it something that you just did on your own based on your I know you said you're a graphic designer originally from your off-field endeavors.
I'm a graphic designer. I did start on my own, but I've had a lot of support from friends, from teammates, not just on my team, but just from different girls who play football from all over the country that I know. So that's really been very helpful. And I think for me, it's been very special because I've been able to reach female football players, not just here, but all the way from Europe to Australia, even in Canada. And just to hear all the positive feedback I get, I get emails every once in a while, just someone thanking me for covering, a story, or they'll send something they want me to cover. And I think it's so great to have the interaction with people and getting to hear other people's stories and just be able to help. I'll do something as simple as post, a flyer on our website for a tryout, and they appreciate small things like that. So I think it's a constant growth and being able to connect with so many people from all over the world has been very special to me.
Yeah, and it's a key right now. And the Australia game is growing. What's your thoughts on the Australia game? Because obviously, from what we're gathering right now, and based on the context that we have, the Australian game is really an exciting buzz time right there. They're getting ready to launch their national team for 2017. They've just launched their three separate governing bodies, which is Victoria, New South Wales, and obviously Queensland. So, it's kind of an exciting time there. It's sort of the same feel that you would have here in the States with the WFA, the IWFL, and the WSFL. So what's your thoughts on Australia, building up this huge, aspect of excitement going towards, building a team and then getting together with leagues, and now it's branching out into this huge acceptance stage besides, the traditional rules game that they have down south?
Yeah, no, I love it. I absolutely love it. I know it's going very fast out there, and I have a good friend who actually is an Australian player out there, and I hear about all the new things they're doing every week, and I think it's amazing. I try to cover as much as I can from Australia because I know how many exciting things are going on right now. So it's great for the world of women's football to see that. I think I would have loved to see them, this past summer in the World Championship, but for them to be part of the next one would be great. And I think the more we grow women's football in any country, it's just better for the entire world. So I think it's great, and I hope it continues.
All right. So, Manat, I appreciate you taking the time for us. Can you tell our followers where are we going to engage with you in terms of, aspect of it? I know you have your apparel brand, you got your website. What are other things that you have, vision-wise going forward in the next year? Is there something you can give us kind of a teaser as to what's going to happen with you and your brand itself?
I'm hoping to be able to cover more and more as far as news, and hopefully more countries will jump on board. As far as my merchandise and things like that, I do get requests all the time, and so I'm trying to actually go out there more and trying to attend different events, and I get a lot of requests, I get a lot of team requests for team apparel, so I have a few things in the store. I'm going to try to post a couple of things here and there on the website, so I would definitely encourage people to go to MissGridiron.com and check it out. There should be some exciting things coming up, and feel free to, add us on Facebook. We're on Twitter as well, so hopefully there'll be some fun and exciting things in the next year.
All right. Can you tell us a little bit, Manat, about you're in California, right? Are you playing next year for the Quakes, or is it something that you're going to step off and not participate any longer because you're going to go into the business end of it with your brand, or is it something you're going to still continue to do for the next couple seasons?
I definitely see myself playing for I'm not going to stop playing football for sure. I think I have a couple more years in me. So you'll definitely see me out on the field for at least a couple more years. So as far as, I'm not sure where exactly I'll be playing, but I'm definitely looking forward to playing somewhere.
All right. Now let's talk about the season before we let you go. What did you think of your season today, this past year? And then obviously the championship in the league. you had Carolina kind of stood out all the way around, and then you also had Montreal again winning it one more time, which is, you know, a double, not in the same tier, of course, but they ended up winning all the way. So, you know, Canadian-wise, we get a lot of feedback saying, you know, this is probably the biggest congratulation, if you want to call it, or the biggest accolade, because the Blitz has been able to, you know, come from a foreign country, if you want to, you know, if you want to say that, you know, from not a U.S.-based country, but maybe from a country like that, and then winning it twice. So it's got to show a lot of pride. And obviously they had a lot of team members from Football Canada, so that's a plus for them. So can you tell us a little bit about what you felt about the playoffs settings and the results in the IWFL?
Absolutely. I mean, I saw Montreal, I think, even last year in the championship, and I know they won it. So they've been a very strong team. They are a very good team. And I know they have all the national players on there. So it's always exciting to see them play, especially from a team that's not from the U.S. It's great. They have a solid team, and they always put on a good show. So I know they were going to be a good contender. So it's always great to see them in the championship rounds. As far as Carolina, and I know they're playing in Houston, I was there and I watched the game. I mean, it was a great game too. Very, very good teams, and Carolina ended up taking it. And I mean, they have a lot of veteran players. I know they have a lot of girls that have been playing together for a long time. So they're definitely a solid team, and I wasn't surprised they ended up winning it. So it was great to be out there and see all those really good teams. I saw some great games, so definitely had fun.
Yeah, and I think it shows a lot of you know, a good potential for the leagues. I'm kind of favoring the WFA in a lot of ways because of their scope. I think they have, you know, some of the better scope, not to knock down the IWFL, but overall I think the WFA is sort of like an NFL type format, so it's kind of a little bit more favoritism in that way, and maybe because Team USA is part of that, you know, the majority of the players are part of that league, so in that sense you kind of try to favor that in a lot more. But Chicago, you know, they played a great game in San Diego. They scored almost 81 points, which is literally unheard of in a championship game. But they did their job, and they overcame from last year's loss against the San Diego Surge. So it's going to be kind of exciting to go into next season and see how it evolves, especially with Sammy Grisoffi retiring. So can you give some points about Sammy Grisoffi at this point? I know you saw her, obviously, at the in Vonta.
Oh, yeah, I did. I mean, I played against her as well. I mean, she's like a great quarterback, obviously. I've seen her play a couple of times, and I did get a chance to play against her. So sad to see her retire, definitely. But, I mean, she's done some amazing things, obviously, in her football career. I was happy to see that she got her – well, I guess she got two rings, one with Team USA and one with the Chicago Four. But, yeah, WFA definitely has some great talent, some great teams. I didn't get a chance, obviously, to go down and watch the championship game, but I know a lot of the girls on Team USA play for teams in the WFA. So there were some great games. I was able to catch them online, and I'm definitely excited to see what next year holds. I know the Surge took it the year before, Chicago took it this year. So you never know who's going to step up and take it next year, but I think it'll be a great year.
All right. So, Amanda, I thank you for your time. Emery, if you're listening to me, I know you're probably on hold at this point, so my board is frozen up at this point, so as soon as I drop this call, I don't think I'm going to be able to pick up another call. So I do apologize for that. I strongly apologize for that. I know I've, you know, made the time for it, so I will either reschedule or work something out with you in the next couple weeks for the NFL season. So I apologize wholeheartedly for that. So we'll take care of that aspect of it. But, Manna, I thank you for making the time today. I appreciate it. We will be in contact. Trying to network with you because I think you have a great thing going, and it actually benefits us as well as to kind of partner up and network to try to get the awareness for the women's game out and put together some sort of, you know, impactful motion of marketing and know-how so that we can, you know, showcase all these amazing women that obviously play this game and put them together. And I know we showcase the Italian league and on our Facebook page and the German League, and we haven't got to the German League yet because I've been working really hard to get some sort of contact person to give us some sort of insights and information. We're partnering, obviously, with Touchdown Europe, so I will pass that along to them as well, that you're obviously on the website, and maybe we can network with them as well to kind of give us some feedback on terms of the Europe scene. when it comes up during the season. And I know you have the Swedish season starts, is it May through September, if I'm correct?
They start a little bit later. I think they have a little bit of a gap. I know they just wrapped up, a week or two ago.
Okay, so, and I haven't been able to kind of finalize, the Swedish and Finnish calendar, so we're working on that this year to kind of fine-tune that so that we know exactly which months they're actually kicking off and all that good stuff so that we can cover them exclusively. And then I'm trying to, get my program here going to a better situation so we can get some coverage overseas with some Skype. So it's still in the works for me to try to get everything set up for that. So hopefully, going down the road here in the next 18 months with the program and everything else that we do, networking with everybody else, we can literally showcase a lot of these amazing women from the different leagues internationally as well, not just on the U.S.-based side.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I definitely look forward to networking and partnering and seeing what we can do together to keep this sport definitely developing as much as possible.
Yeah, and that's the key right there to do it. It's just try to get it in that state. Is there anything you need from us while we're on air that you would like us to help you out with and networking with us? Because I know we interact with Twitter and Facebook. So, is there anything you can let the fans out about how better to network with you? Email? Is it just Facebook? What's the best way to for them to get in contact with you so that they can feed information to you so that you can actually post that up and make it relevant on your site?
Oh, absolutely. You can definitely visit the website, MissGridiron.com. There's a contact form on there. Or through Facebook, any social media. We're on Twitter as well. I would love to hear from anyone who has anything they want me to help them promote as far as women's football. So definitely follow us on Twitter or add us on Facebook. Or you can just, like I said, go through our website and send in an information. Or if you have questions or anything like that, you can do it through our website.
All right. So, man, I thank you. Have a good afternoon this Sunday. I'm probably not as good as, obviously with the Redskins loss. I'm hoping your fantasy football team did better than your Redskin team because I know my squad wasn't doing too well. And, I picked up Peyton Manning the first week, which is probably the most amazing thing you can have in terms of fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
But, I don't know what will happen this week. This week I'm not doing too good, but, I did play Royal, so that was somewhat of a good positive for with the San Diego side of it there, but overall I'll probably fall in the middle of the pack this week. So it's kind of frustrating when you play in fantasy. You're rooting for your team, but you're really not. Depending on the players that you have playing, and then you're wishing for the points, or you're not wishing for the points. So it's kind of interesting in that sense. So do you play the fantasy side of it?
I am playing fantasy football, and I'm. My fantasy team did better than my Redskins team did. So that was the only positive thing about today's game. But, I am definitely hooked on fantasy. So I'm constantly on my phone checking to see how my players are doing. It's taken up a lot of my time.
Yeah, it's very stressful in one sense, I think, but it's also very a rush. It gives you this huge rush that if you do well and you picked well, I guess you're just an instant general manager with a good, a good thumb, I guess, to pick up all these players and put together a good team. So we'll see how that goes this week. But I'm probably going to fall to 1-1, which is probably not a good thing. But overall, I mean, it's still pretty even at 500, so I guess I should be happy.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, not too bad at all. All right, Manna, thank you for coming in. I really appreciate it. We hope to touch base one more time, hopefully before the WIFL season kicks off. You're always welcome to the show. Just let me know if you want to come on to disclose anything from your website or your branding. We are more than happy to partner up with you to get the word out on anything you want out there. You can also post on our Facebook page as well. You can link it there. You can always send us stuff on our Twitter feed. And we will be basically dissecting and putting your name out on the Fast Follows each week so that way you can start getting more followers as well so that way we can get the word out together.
Great. Yeah, and I definitely appreciate it. And thank you so much for having me on your show today.
All right. Enjoy your afternoon. Thanks for being with us. I really appreciate you making the time. And I look forward to another opportunity to talk about women's gridiron. And hopefully next year it will be where maybe the Quakes are in the playoffs.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
All right. Enjoy your afternoon in California as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, so that was Amanda Allison. She plays for the California Quakes of the Independent Women's Football League. We wanted to bring her on because she has an amazing website, MissGridiron.com. She's got it on Miss Gridiron on Facebook as well. She's got some graphic design background, so she's moving forward with some apparel to kind of support the women's game, just like we do with our No Joke Football branding. So it's an exciting time for women's football. For Emery, I know he was, we were going to bring him on board. I totally apologize to our followers for doing that. Unfortunately, we've had, the bad connections going on here. My board is frozen at this point, so I don't know what happened there, but we'll figure that out. I didn't want to waste his time as well, so I know he's a busy person. So he's a great friend of the show, and I apologize to him, obviously, for not being able to hook him up for the NFL. But overall, we'll bring him in on board in the next couple weeks because once he gets freed up, because he's a busy man, and then we'll talk NFL as well. And if you want to follow him, at Football Game Plan, FB Game Plan on Twitter. You can also go to footballgameplan.com, and he's got huge insights. Every week he covers the Canadian Football League. He's covering college football, breaking down a lot of the strategic aspects of it, and that's why we wanted to bring him on board, because he's a great asset and a huge insider for a lot of things football, and he does an amazing job of doing that. And then during the women's gridiron season, pretty much the go-to guy that we have gotten acquainted to go to in terms of covering the WFA, the IWFL, putting together, the weekly matchups, and the aspect of the women's game. So he does an amazing job there. So we'll get him on board, and we'll bring him back on as soon as I can get that situation taken care of. We might end up moving to a different platform at this point, given some of the technical issues that we're having. But overall, I mean, it's a new brand that we started, a new infancy with the radio. So, we're evolving as well as they're evolving. So hopefully going down the road here, we will make an effort to move on to something else. So I'm kind of locating in that with some of the resources that I have. So let's go into the NFL slate here for the last couple minutes before we end the show at this point. I know Chicago's up 2-0 this week. Jay Cutler, 290 yards, 38-39. Not very impressive in that aspect, I don't think. They've only won by 3 points the last 2 weeks. Everybody, I think, sort of expected this Cutler-Marshall connection to be a little bit more explosive, but it didn't turn out that way. Three touchdowns for Cutler plus two interceptions, and they get a win by 1 point over Minnesota. Minnesota did not play that bad of a game to begin with. The expectation there is obviously to improve for the next weekend, but we'll see how that works out. Kansas City goes to 2-0, surprising. And they haven't been 2-0 since 2010. And so hopefully, Alex Smith and the Andy Reid connection, they're going to go into next Thursday. They're going to end up facing Reid facing his former team, the Eagles. So we'll see if the Chiefs can go to 3-0, given how Philadelphia played today. And hopefully they'll improve. But, overall, Kansas City has improved tremendously based on just the improvements since 2010. They equal that mark again. Everybody was looking forward to the Manning Bowl, and it was pretty tight when I left to do the show. It was 10-9, so I don't know what the outcome at this point will be. The Monday nighter will be Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh versus Cincinnati. It's a situation where it's either two bad teams going the wrong way, or it's going to be one team going completely off the mark at this point, and it looks like Pittsburgh's going to be that team. Cincinnati should have the potential to beat them. We will see how much of a matchup that becomes on Monday night. The Steelers have been somewhat disappointing starting the season, so we will see what the Bengals can bring in that division as well. And then Cleveland lost, obviously, to Baltimore 14-6, so we'll see how that translates into that division with that loss and then Baltimore coming back out there. And even though Witten played somewhat okay, it's a situation where the Browns just have not improved enough to do that. The surprising player for me was E.J. Manuel up in Buffalo today. 24-23, they beat Carolina, and he almost passed for over 300 yards. And the Bills rebound to kind of even their season, especially after the loss to Tom Brady. So they're an up-and-coming team in that AFC East. So we'll see how that they transpire there. Green Bay all over Washington, as we were talking to Matt Allison about it. It's a situation where, the defense on the Washington side of things just not up to par to what everybody expected. And, well, when you're playing Green Bay, you have to be on your game, and that hasn't happened. And RG3 being not the RG3 that everybody was getting used to before this injury, they're still having some concerns there. Surprising, San Diego edges Philadelphia, as we were talking about with the Andy Reid thing, 33-30, and it was Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates. Rivers over 400-something yards plus 3 touchdowns. Eddie Royal, as I was mentioning to Amanda on my fantasy team, 3 touchdowns today. So that was huge, huge numbers for them. So San Diego in a position where they can kind of put themselves in a situation in the mix, especially with Kansas City being better. The Raiders, as far as I knew before coming out of here, the Raiders were up on Jacksonville, and I'm assuming they will win today versus Jacksonville, because Jacksonville has been a horrible team. So given the Denver-New York outcome, you could see a tightening AFC West in terms of teams building up towards contention there. So it's early in the season. It's only 3 weeks in, but it's a good sign when everybody is at least at 1-1, if not 1-2. So hopefully there's an aspect there for it in that regard. So the other matchups that we were talking about was the weekends. In this weekend was the 31-24 Atlanta being up huge against St. Louis, 24-3 at the half, and all of a sudden, they couldn't stop the Rams in the second half, and it's just the Rams are becoming like this huge second half team where they come in swing too late, the time is against them, and they just weren't able to get it done. So we'll see how that transpires with them in terms of getting better in the first two quarters versus waiting for the last two quarters to kind of make a game out of everything. So 31-24, Atlanta is actually winning, and they won. They took care of the Rams there. The Rams fall to 1-1, depending on the Seattle-San Francisco mix. They could be somewhat in the mix in that sense so early. The Texans beat up the Tennessee Titans 30-24. Schaub and Foster, and they kind of just – they played a good game, enough to win at this point, but they played good. Tennessee was playing pretty decent ball as well. Surprising receivers was Mike Wallace for me. Miami, with their situation there, they've obviously improved. So Miami is, somewhat of a team that's going to improve, and it's going to be a contender, I think, surprising there. The Chip Kelly offense this week wasn't so extraordinary as it was the first week, so it becomes a nail-biter. Versus the San Diego Chargers. So we'll see how that experiment works out in the next couple of weeks as they face stiffer competition and they get into their schedule in the deeper sense. So that's pretty much, the slate for the NFL at this point. I'm going to, try to, bring in somebody in here with the NFL situation every week, trying to get everybody to kind of dive into the NFL for the next couple of weeks as well. So we'll see how that turns out and how it transpires with everybody. And I really want to make the show more interactive with the NFL aspect of it going forward for the next, during the season, if anything. And it's become a situation where I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that at this point with the platform that we have. So I will let everybody know as of next week as to whether we're going forward or we're going to just hold back on our platform for Gridiron Beauty Radio to try to get that set up and taken care of. So we'll go forward with that, and hopefully that's going to be the case. But if not, we'll be back on the platform, 4 p.m., 7 p.m. Eastern. And I think it's a good format for us to have this time slot. So hopefully that's going to be the case. If not, we will move to a different platform, and we obviously will inform everybody of where we're at, and you'll get to see it on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else that we can market it in that sense. thank you for being on the show today. To Amanda Allison, I apologize to obviously Emery Hunt for our technical difficulties here with the setup, and we'll look forward to having him on hopefully in the next couple weeks as the season goes in, and hopefully that's going to be the case. And so for Gridiron Breeds Radio, Oscar Lopez, we will see you next week on Gridiron Radio. Gridiron Beauties Radio, and hopefully we'll have a better show in that aspect and have these technical issues taken off. So we're going to let you go. You'll probably hear some dead air. That's okay. We will look forward to editing that, and then we'll archive it and put it back up there so everybody can listen to it next week. Thank you, and have a great evening, and enjoy your Sunday. Looking forward to Seattle-San Francisco matchups and the NFL evening matchup, and obviously the Monday Nighter Pittsburgh taking on Cincinnati. Thank you, and have a great evening.